Welcome to the Reflex Blue Show. This is Ben Luters covering the How Interactive Design Conference in downtown San Francisco. I am joined today by Tess Donahoe and also Rick Hawson. And Tess, where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Copenhagen, and I moved to the States about 5.5 years ago, and right now I'm living in Los Angeles, California.
Awesome. So what do you do, Tess?
Right now I work for American Greetings Interactive doing various different fun projects, but we were doing a lot of iPhone apps and iPad apps and new like technology stuff and whole various bunch of things.
Awesome. Tess was showing me this really cool app that she helped to design. What was it called again?
It's called Just Wink.
Just Wink. And it's a free app for iPhone and Android. And it's pretty awesome. Did you do all of the illustration and everything on there?
Actually, I started later on. They've been working on this thing for a long time, so I wasn't really part of designing the app. I designed part of the website for it, and it's going to be online soon, but they'd been working on it for a long time when I just joined American Greetings in April, so.
Wow, nice.
I did design some of the cards for it, so.
Oh, okay, nice. That was my follow-up question, so now I don't know what to say. I guess I'll have to transition to Rick. Rick, tell us about yourself.
Well, I live up in Point Reyes Station, the land of kayaks and oysters. I'm a freelance designer. I work in tandem with my wife, who has so much better aesthetic sense than I do, so there's lots of opportunities to grow. And I'm learning how to stand up paddleboard and surf lately.
That's very cool. So what have you gotten out of this conference so far? Has there been anything that's really stood out to really help you do something better?
Yeah, actually, it really helped me in changing the way that I see myself because, you know, when you look at all the things there are to learn in web design, it's like trying to figure out where to start eating an elephant. You know, it's like it just seems too big and too much and you don't know where to begin. And what I've been doing is starting, you know, whenever there's a project, that project would kind of define my syllabus. I just learned what I needed to learn to get the project done. And I began to feel like a hack. So it was really affirming to see the speakers on the panel all saying that basically that's what they do. And it's like, okay, so I really am a professional, you know? I mean, I just thought I managed to deliver a product. Now I can see that I'm just the same as the rest of them. So that was really nice.
That's cool. So was there a specific speaker that really resonated with you along those lines?
The speakers that, let's see, I'm horrible with names.
He's taking a look at his syllabus right now. Cheater.
Let's see, Mark O'Brien, Chris Converse, and Patrick McNeil were the three that were on the panel that were saying that. It was, but some other really, really good speakers there, of course, were David Sherman, who's just amazing, Jose Caliber, and Karen McGrain. But I don't know if they come from that same background. They didn't say that specifically. They seem like sometimes that some of the designers seem to come from a deeper design background. And but it was nice to see that the interactive side could be handled in this manner.
You know, during David Sherwin's talk, I was actually trying to blog during that talk. And when I would stop to listen to him, the things that he was saying were easy to understand. And they weren't like really lofty things. But I felt like if I wasn't paying perfect attention and like really following him, and if I allowed myself to get distracted, it was hard to know where he was just because there's so much information being shared. But again, like talking to other people later, a lot of people came away thinking that his talk was just absolutely brilliant. So what about you? Did you, Tess, did you think that David Sherwin's talk was absolutely brilliant?
Yes, I thought it was great. I just like kind of the real world experience that he took and kind of compared it to the web, because sometimes web becomes like such like in its own little bubble and it's hard to relate to anything outside of that. But it's so great when you can see kind of comparisons to what we experience like in our everyday life, walking around the city and doing things, and then comparing that to like our web experience and kind of drawing those kind of connections. I think that's like really kind of eye-opening.
Tess, right before we started recording this show, Tess told me that she has only been in the States for 5 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
I was wondering if you could speak some Danish for us. I really cannot believe that English is not your main language, since you just speak it so perfectly without any kind of accent whatsoever. So I just want to hear this. What are you going to share with us today?
Well, I can say hello to all the Danish listeners out there.
That sounds awesome. We have a huge Danish following. It's unbelievable, the Danish population in Omaha, Nebraska.
Hej alle danske lytter. Jeg håber, I har det godt. Vi er her i San Francisco, og solen skinner.
Wow, it's like she's speaking right to you, all you Danish people out there. Anything else you guys would like to add about the conference in general? Would you come back to another interactive design conference next year, or do you feel like this was enough to kind of get you where you want to go?
You know, this is pretty solid, a pretty solid experience. One of the speakers said, hey, it'd be great to have all you guys back next year to build upon all the knowledge that was given this year. So it'd be interesting to see what they come up with next year, see that list, yeah.
So maybe more advanced things next year. Like, this is kind of the, you know, building blocks, and the next year would be more, maybe more code or more advanced things.
Yeah, and to see the state of the web, because it's changing so, so fast. I mean, if you asked us a year and a half ago about Flash, everything would have been going in that direction, and now look where we are. It's, yeah.
So, Rick, do you do a lot of hand coding?
You know, I don't do hand coding from scratch, but I repurpose a lot of code. So I understand the concepts well enough, but it's not my language.
Right. Yeah, one of the things I've just noticed in talking to some different people at the conference is everybody I talk to is at just different levels of their interaction with code. And so some people are just strictly print designers that are coming here to maybe scare them out of that world a little bit and into this world of interactive design. And then others have been, you know, coding forever, and they just came here to hang with other coders, which they might be disappointed because there's not very many of those. Yeah, there's not many of them. So, what about you, Tess? Do you code by hand at all?
At my current job, I don't. But I love learning about all the different coding languages and what's going on with the web, because it kind of, like, you know, affects how we design too. So I love learning about it and hanging out with people who, you know a lot about coding. So in that sense, it's kind of a part of my everyday, but I don't actually physically do it at work.
Tess, Rick, thank you guys so much for being on the show. Hope to see you next year.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, welcome to the Reflex Blue Show. Today we have Patrick McNeil and Grace Dobusch. Is that how we say it? Grace Dobusch is the executive editor of How's website, right?
Yeah, the executive editor for How Interactive Design.
Ooh, very nice. And Patrick McNeil, you are the content director of the very same thing. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. All right, so how have you guys, how did you guys get to the place where you are now?
Well, I came onto the How team. How Interactive Design is kind of a sub-community from How Design, the big magazine that everybody loves. It's been around forever, and the conferences and everything. They wanted to create a new little sub-community specifically for interactive designers. And so I was brought on to be the editor for that, and Patrick was brought on to be the main, like, content writer for that. And so we've been trying to build up a site and a community for graphic designers working on the web.
How do you think the response has been?
I mean, the response to the conference has been amazing. The site just launched about 2 months ago, so it's still growing. And, you know, we've got a lot of awesome content up there, a lot of stories from Patrick and from myself. We've got a blog that's, you know, we've got content coming out daily on it. And so I'm hoping that the How Interactive Conference, which has had awesome response on Twitter and from the people here, I'm hoping that it'll just keep on growing and, you know, really just roll into next year, because, you know, we're going to do this again.
Okay. I was talking to Gary Lynch yesterday about that, and he seems pretty excited about next year's How Interactive Design Conference, possibly two conferences on either coast. Unfortunately, not in Omaha, which I was very bummed to hear about, although he did throw out Chicago as a close possibility. I can't blame him. So, Patrick McNeil, can you, for those who missed out on your beautiful presentation yesterday, can you kind of give us an overview of what you tried to show people?
That's a good question. An overview. So essentially, I tend to talk about trends and web design in that kind of perspective a lot with the books and a lot of the writing that I've done. And so,
what books have you written?
The Web Designer's Idea Book, Volume 1 and 2, which is now in iPad form, which is kind of fun.
Where can we get this?
On the iTunes store.
Very specific, thank you.
Or you can go to, I guess they have it in the My Design Shop, is where the official URL, but where you can hit my site and find it there as well, which is pmcneil.com if you want to hunt it down there. There's a good link there, so that's one way. But so anyway, I'm all wrapped up in the idea of trends and web design in that regard. So essentially I talked about web design trends, and rather than talk about frivolous trends, like what's the most popular color or something to that effect, we kind of took it with the angle of what are some hot technologies, and then what are the design kind of patterns that flow out of that. So we kind of connect real life examples of design to the technologies that ultimately sort of motivated that design. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, Patrick. Now, I just want to say that I was watching your presentation and I really was struck by your eye for design. I really liked the slides that you showed. I thought they were very pretty. And I was wondering if you could explain, again, for people who didn't see your presentation and can't see your presentation because this is just going to be audio, can you kind of explain some of the trends that you talked about in a way that they would be able to understand?
Yeah, sure. I guess there was three of them. The first was the notion of responsive design, which is, of course, where the site adapts to the environment of the user. And so mostly I guess we went through the idea that kind of the earliest examples were very sort of minimalistically styled so that they easily sort of adapt and move around, whereas now we're getting a lot more maybe advanced usages that require just a whole lot more planning and effort and understanding what's going to happen so that you can have a richer design, since not every client's going to go for, you know, a minimalistic site, of course. So that was number one. I think number two was all about typography and sort of how we've been freed up to use any typeface that we want. And ultimately, you see sort of an explosion of that, but then also, I don't know, we just sort of have to have restraint, just like with any other kind of design trend. You can go hog wild and get obnoxious with it, or you can be really restrained and use really kind of nice, elegant solutions. So that was that. And I think the final one, of course, CSS3, HTML5, that's what everybody's talking about. And we looked at a whole lot of examples of where sort of subtle usages of just obvious things like rounded corners and drop shadows, which everybody's kind of crazy for, but then also how those three things all ultimately work together to create a really kind of a dynamic environment that's pretty powerful. So you can, if you're building things off of web-based type, even if you're using custom typefaces, and then you add to that code-based design elements like rounded corners, drop shadows, or animations and stuff, then that plays perfectly into the notion of responsive design. So they all really flow together quite well.
That's awesome.
I was just going to add that, you know, even though the podcasters can't see his presentation, and unless, of course, you sign up for a subscription at Design TV, which is at tv.howdesign.com, Patrick actually selects a site of the day for us on howinteractivedesign.com. And so, like, literally every day, he's picking out one of those beautiful sites and talking about why it's awesome and what technologies it's leveraging to get the look that it has.
Wow. And where can we find this?
HowInteractiveDesign.com.
And one more time.
HowInteractiveDesign.com.
Oh, very nice. Okay, Patrick, I do have a specific question for you, especially as I was looking at your slides, and now that I hear that you provide a lot of the content for the website and all this, and you're very involved in the content and all that. I'd like to know, what is your design background? Are you a designer? Are you a coder? What are you? You just write? You know, what are you, and what have you done, and what do you like to do? I mean, there's a lot of questions all rolled into one, but can you just kind of expound upon all of that?
Certainly. What am I? I'm a human being, I guess. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't... So I do have a traditional, I guess, training in design. Did go to school for the creative side of things. Ultimately got a degree in studio art and art history, which played a large role in a lot of the writing. But actually started off my career as an IT person, believe it or not, setting up computer networks, and slowly moved into the web side of things and doing web development. And then sort of wanted to embrace my interest in kind of the arts in general. And graphic design was just an obvious outlet for that, because it's commercially based. It's not just you know, painting or whatever. So it totally tied into what I was already doing. And so ultimately I ended up being just kind of a developer slash designer guy. I never quite pursued the design aspect to the point where I kind of mastered those skills, but they definitely influence everything I do. And so of course I love design, and sort of a college project was, for me, was Design Meltdown, which is where I started doing all this cataloging and writing about web design. And for some reason, I had the courage to just start writing about it, which seemed so pretentious at the time to think that I had something smart to say about it. But just like anything, if you do it enough, you eventually actually get pretty good at it. And so I've sort of fallen into writing. It's certainly not, I was never trained to do it. And if it wasn't for Grace and her ability to edit things, I would sound like a fool. But so she makes me sound really smart, which is great. But anyway, I have a passion for design, and then, of course, technology. And so it all just, I don't know, it all flows together quite well for me. I get to do a lot of different things, which is kind of fun.
One of the questions I've been trying to ask everybody is, do you hand code? Because a lot of the people, as we discovered in the beginning of this conference, a lot of the people in the room are print designers. At trying to make that jump. And so, Grace, do you hand code?
Well, you know what? I actually was recently, before I came to How, I was using a CMS that was kind of an abomination. And so I was actually...
Can you say what CMS it was?
It was a custom build, so I can't say. But I was hand coding a lot.
Well, good for you. What about you, Patrick?
Well, yeah, definitely. I don't know. I can't imagine not handwriting it once you know how to do it, and once you use a code editor, especially one that has autocomplete. That's the trick. So I use Dreamweaver, which a lot of hardcore web people think is pretty stupid.
You do use Dreamweaver.
Yeah. But I don't
expound on that.
I don't use any of the sort of point-and-click interface. I just switch to CodeView. And the only reason I use it, I was kind of talking to somebody about this today, is for one, it combines FTP and code editing, but... I know the autocomplete and the way it works, and so I know the key routines, and so I'm sort of, my mind is programmed to use it, and so every time I try to switch code editors, everything sort of falls apart, and I can't write code anymore. So, like, I've just memorized all the autocomplete features, so if that makes any sense at all, hopefully so.
No, that's actually really good to hear. I'm one of those print designers who's trying to make the leap. And my boss uses a lot of Dreamweaver, and we've been, but kind of how you say, like, basically just using it as a code editor and the FTP and all that other stuff. And I just haven't heard any other coders say, like, it's okay to use Dreamweaver. So that's actually, I'm glad that came up. We're also joined by Tess Donahoe, who we interviewed a little while ago. Do you have any questions for either of these two before we wrap things up?
I'm just wondering, I've been kind of wondering this throughout the day. Do you guys kind of work on a lot of your own kind of personal side project, except from what you work on, like, you know, for How and...
Outside of web design? Like, outside of web design, or...?
Like, because I always, like, have so many things I want to do, and it's not such a focused path of, like, oh, I want to only do web, or I only want to do something. And I'm always interested in hearing if other people are like that.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of projects I'm working on at any given time. I organize an indie craft show in Cincinnati, for example, Crafty Supermarket, and we do that twice a year, and it's like a real business. It's an LLC that I run with a friend of mine. But I also, I wrote a book about craft business called Crafty Superstar, and I just finished up the sequel to it that's coming out in 2012. So I do a lot of writing and organizing of crazy things in my free time.
She wrote for Wired.
I did. I had my first piece published in Wired in October.
Nice claim to
fame. Wow, nice. Anything else, Tess?
Well, I would like to hear.
Oh, yeah, Patrick. How could I forget about you?
How could you forget? So, yeah, I would say I'm a glutton for side projects. Definitely have a ton of them.
You're always coming up with random website concepts.
Yeah, I have a never-ending flow of ideas, and so every now and then I'll actually do one of them. So, like, recently I did one called, I showed you this, Coded Bits. It's just a silly site. Like, you saw the tool they showed where you could generate a gradient. And so I basically...
I was playing around with that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So I built a tool that basically organizes a bunch of those tools into a nice kind of friendly interface. And so... Yeah, a tool of tools. So it's so stuff like that I'm constantly doing. And then I still run Design Meltdown, where I write a ton. So, yeah, I can't stop doing side projects. I could give you a million samples of that.
And that's designmeltdown.com for our listeners?
Yep, you got it.
All right, great. Well, Patrick and Grace and Tess, thank you so much for being on the Reflex Blue Show.
Thanks a lot.